Yo, 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 here we go. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers, brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media and sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With audio engineers and music composers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandCreativeStudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. This episode will be solo, no Mike, no Max. Mike's got, he's coaching some Little League, and Max has some family stuff going on. So I'm going to do a real quick one. I had one that I did a little earlier, ran into some technical difficulties on my end. So this one will be even shorter because I got to go coach a Little League game. But just a real fast recap, here we go. Dodgers win game one, extra innings. Dodgers take it 6-3 on a walk-off grand slam at the bottom of the 10th inning by Freddie Freeman. First walk-off grand slam in World Series history. It was absolutely amazing. I know there's comparisons between Gibson's home run and Freddie Freeman's home run. They're two different types of beasts. They're both going to go down in history as some of the greatest Dodger games of all time. It's going to be tough to beat Gibson's. But you know what? Let's see what the outcome is for this series. And go from there. It definitely changed the momentum back in the Dodgers' favor with Gibson's home run. Look, I remember being, 8 years old. I lived in an apartment with my dad. We lived on the second story. When Gibson hit that home run, it felt like there was an earthquake happening because everyone in the building jumped up and down at the same time. It was, something that I will never forget. My dad told the story 1,000 times. I've told the story 1,000 times. It gets bigger and bigger because of, the lore that was Gibson. But going into this one, I'm watching it in my living room with my family, my father-in-law, and we all jumped up, went crazy. Got thousands of texts from family members and friends. Did you see this? Did you see it? Did you see it? And nobody on their bingo card had Freddie Freeman walk off grand slam in the bottom of the 10th inning. Nobody had that. The way that things lined up to make that happen was amazing. Sure, there was some bad calls on the Yankee side and also umpiring side to make that actually happen. This game ended up being something that I didn't think was going to happen, which became a pitcher's duel. And I think not to take away from Flaherty and not to take away from Cole, they both pitched great. But I think some of that might have had to do with the incredibly terrible plate umping throughout this game. And that changes the approach for the hitters because you don't know where the strike zone is. You don't know what pitches to take, what pitches to go after. And it also changes the attack for the pitchers because now they know, like, hey, this strike zone is stretched out a little bit over here, which sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't. There was some calls where you're sitting there scratching your head going, how could you have even called that a strike? Like, you're standing right behind the umpire. Like, how do you know that that's not like 2 feet off of home plate? Might be an exaggeration, but it is what it is. But ended up being a pitcher's duel. It was an exciting game. Obviously, it's more exciting that the Dodgers won it. But let's do a quick recap really fast. I'm gonna blow through this as quick as possible just to kind of refresh the memory because it was a great game. Flaherty looked really good. He made really only one bad pitch to Stanton, which even then is kind of questionable. I think, if I remember the sequence correctly, he had him 0-2. He went for a high fastball, missed really bad. I think Smith had to jump out of his cleats to catch the ball. And I kind of thought he would have went high fastball again, but he didn't. I think he threw his knuckle curve low and inside. And Stanton, whichever you highlight, this would be nice to have Max around. I don't sit there and study Stanton a lot, but it seems like every highlight I see of this guy, he's golfing out a home run. So I feel like that might not be the area that you want to throw to him. And you should maybe, it wasn't even a strike, to be honest with you. He golfed it out. I mean, it was a bad pitch in one aspect of it, but it's also seemed like it's the same wheelhouse for Stanton, but he absolutely crushed it, which, gave the Yankees, gave them the lead. So then it became 2-1. I kind of thought the way Flaherty was pitching that Roberts would have stuck with him a little bit longer, but he didn't. I think Flaherty made one pitch to the next batter and then he got pulled out. And I believe it was Bonda that came in, and Bonda looked a little shaky. He gave up 2 hits, somehow still got out of the jam, gave up 2, but then struck out 2 at the same time. He looked somewhat decent. Gratterall and Vessier came in after. And I will say this, not having Evan Phillips for the rest of the series is going to be kind of a bummer. He was one of the big three, possibly four, that we would call it. Having conversations with Max and Max and Mike, and then even my father-in-law and some other people, it always seemed that the big three was Kopech, then you had Trinan, and then you had Phillips. And those are the three guys that you really used in the bullpen to go against the heart of the lineup of your opponents. And not to have Phillips there as an option is kind of a bummer. However, Gratterall, if he becomes Gratterall, he looked great in this game. If he continues that performance, which is a guy who throws 101 miles an hour and somehow barely gets any swing and miss, but he gets a lot of soft contact. He looked great. Vessier came in. Vessier looked great. Struck out too. If you have those guys, if you give me two of those guys that could pitch like that, replacing an Evan Phillips, I mean, that is a plus. It does make your bullpen a lot deeper, but it is kind of a bummer not to have Phillips, but they looked great. And so it makes the bullpen bigger, goes longer. Kopech came in, looked really strong. And then he made one bad pitch to, I believe that was Torres. And Torres hits a ball that ends up being fan interference because obviously the fan reaches over, catches the fly ball, which is a Dodger fan, which is crazy. You think that if that was not overturned and that does become a home run, that guy better watch himself because Dodger fans kind of get a little rowdy over there, especially in those bleachers. So it's a good thing it was overturned. Ends up being a double. Trina comes in, throws his video game pitches, gets out of the jam. Trina looked good. And when he came into the bottom of the 10th inning, you can see somebody seemed a little fatigued, but still pitched a solid 10th inning, even though one run does come in, does give the Yankees the lead, but he still looked really good. All right, let's talk about the offense for the Dodgers. Actually, I'm going to talk defense really quick. Tommy Edman played an amazing shortstop. I know he did start the game with the error. Luckily, it only caused Flaherty two extra pitches in that inning, but that guy was the busiest I've ever seen a shortstop. He had a play up the middle, a diving stop that was maybe he might have had he could have got the runner out at first base, but he knew to secure to make sure that the Yankees didn't score any runs. He makes the diving play and just throws home immediately to stop the runner at third. It's heads up baseball. I mean, that's why we've talked about Edmonds throughout this podcast since they got him, how excited we were that they actually got Tommy Edmonds, because he's a smart baseball player and he does the right things. And that's really heads up. Muncy had two really good plays at third base, looked great. Mookie Betts had a solid play in right field, which will get overlooked because Chaz Chisholm ends up coming in to score regardless. But Chisholm hits a ball in between center and first that I guarantee you Juan Soto's not getting. Thank you, Juan Soto. We'll talk about him in a second. And he cuts this ball off and holds Chisholm to a single, which I do believe 90% of the other right fielders, center fielders, that would have got by them. Chisholm at least gets a double, but Mookie gets that ball real quick, gets it in. Unfortunately, Trident's pitching, and somehow Trident doesn't have a slide step, so anybody can steal off him at will, especially the only guy who steals bases with the Yankees is on first base, steals second base, steals third, ends up coming in to score. But that was a great play by Betts. We got to give it to him. Key hits. Let's talk about this for a second. We're going to talk about Soto because if I'm going to be realistic, if it Juan Soto's not playing right field for the Yankees, the Dodgers do not win this game. And that some people will be in an uproar. That's fine. But think about this for a second. Kike hits a ball to right field, and the route that Soto takes to get this ball is very poor. It's a conversation piece that I always have with outfielders in Little League, where just because you see the ball does not mean you go straight towards it. You have to be able to take a route towards that ball. So that means the ball's hit hard on the ground or in a line drive. If you cannot get to it, you have to play smart and take your route back towards the fence. And that is not what Soto did. Soto went directly for that ball. And because he did that, a ball that possibly Kike would have been held to a single, most likely would have got a double, ends up becoming a triple. Because of that triple, well, guess what? Smith comes in next at bat, gets a sac fly, run comes in. That's the first run for the Dodgers. But if Juan Soto's not playing right field and you have a better defensive player, like say Mookie Betts, that run does not come in. So because of that one run, that means the Dodgers end up only scoring one run to the ninth inning. The game does not go into extra innings. And, you know, Dodgers don't get that amazing walk-off grand slam by Freddie Freeman. Just something to think about, because I know there was a comparison. There was an article that came out before last episode, and it compared all the position players, and Soto was considered the better position player in right field, or better player in right field than Mookie Betts. Not because of his fielding, but just because of the bat that he brings. But you look at the package that Betts brings between hitting and fielding, you know, that obviously, in my opinion, should boost him above Soto, because that stuff doesn't happen with Mookie Betts. Anyways, moving on, bottom of the eighth inning, Ohtani gets a double, takes third off of a bad throw by Juan Soto. Now, it wasn't that terrible of a throw, because I believe, let me see, who is actually covering second? Ball right field should have been Volpe. Volpe should have been covering second. So Volpe should have picked this ball, but unfortunately gets by him, goes into no man's land over by the mound. Nobody's over by the mound. So smart base running by Shohei, which we can't say that a lot throughout the season, but Shohei advances to third base because there's nobody taking the ball. So guess what? Mookie Betts comes in next. It's a sac fly to center. Ohtani scores. That's how we get our two runs in the actual regular, you know, in the night, or, you know, throughout the game. Sorry. Before it goes an extra. I'm doing this episode solo for the first time in quite a while, guys, so I'm going to stumble a little bit. This is a good reminder. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. All right, let's move on. So before we talk about Freddie Freeman's, the events that happened with Freddie Freeman with the Grand Slam, I want to talk about one thing that happened in this game, and I believe it was the seventh or the eighth inning. Let me look at my notes really fast. It was the bottom of the seventh inning. All right, so before we get our second run, let's talk about something that happened in the bottom of the seventh inning. And this is the decision to have Kike Hernandez do a sack bunt. And look, I understand, we're at the point now, it's a really tight game. You're in the World Series, the bottom of the seventh inning. You're down by one run. You want to play small ball. You want to move runners into scoring position. I get that. I understand that. However, you got a runner on first. You have a runner on second who's already in scoring position, and you have one of your most clutch postseason performers in Kike Hernandez coming up to the plate with no outs. So let's think about that for a second. Now let's look at who's batting behind him. Will Smith is not having a great postseason offensively. Yes, he has had two big homers. That has happened for sure. But his batting average is not, it's not good. His on-base percentage is not good. Not really someone you want to lean on towards in these types of situations, at least right now. Behind him is Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux started off pretty strong in the Padres series, but kind of faltered a little bit and also been dealing with an injury. So you have two guys batting behind Kike who have not been very reliable in the postseason. And you have a guy in Kike, which is the reason why you got him to begin with, is because he is clutch in the postseason. Making that decision to have him sack bunt and move the runners over, you know, if it works out and then all of a sudden Smith is a double, am I having this conversation with you guys? I probably am, because I was really kind of butthurt about it, which I can't believe I even said that on, you know, forget I even said that. But I was perturbed that Roberts did that. And I don't really get perturbed a lot with Roberts. I know a lot of people have things with Roberts and decisions that he makes. This is the one thing that happened in this series that if Freddie Freeman doesn't hit the grand slam in the bottom of the 10th inning, I stay on this for a while, because I think that this could have cost the game by making that decision. And I know some people are going to question it. They're going to send me messages. I might get a thing from Kyle. Kyle, I know you love correcting me when you listen to these episodes. If you're listening to this and you feel the same way or you don't feel the same way, please let me know. But I think having Kike bunt in that situation was not the right call. Anyways, we went to the bottom of the 10th. So here's all the events that all those things that led up to the first ever walk-off grand slam. All right. You got Tommy Edmonds who, I believe Lux walks. Tommy Edmonds hits a single, right? You got a runner at first and second. Then Boone brings in Cortez to face Ohtani. Lefty on lefty. I think there's a weird stat where, and I got to look, I wish we had Max. I don't think there's been a lot of lefties that hit homers off of Cortez in the regular season. I could be wrong. And I didn't do my homework when it comes to that. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. But, you know, we saw the events that happened. Ohtani swings first pitch, which is kind of a little bit of a bummer. flies out to Verdugo. However, because he flies out to Verdugo, Verdugo takes the ball, makes a great, great catch in left field, but goes over the wall. Because he goes over the wall, the runners advance from second and first to now they're on third and second. Then you got Betts out. Leaves first base open for Betts. So here's the thing where I think that they might have walked Betts regardless, just because righty and lefty, Betts' numbers against Cortez are actually pretty good. They might have walked him anyways to get to a hobbled Freddie Freeman, lefty on lefty. In the regular season, Freeman has not done... Normally, Freddie Freeman's splits are pretty good against lefty and righty. They have not been good this regular season. Lefties have been... He's not hitting very well against lefties. Let's just say that. Or at least not his normal tick. Anyways, regardless, intentionally walked to Mookie Betts. The very next pitch, first pitch. So Cortez only throws two balls. One is a fly out, and the next one is a walk-off grand slam to Freddie Freeman. And people go crazy. I'm sure there's people in apartment complexes that live on the second story that it feels like an earthquake because people jump up and down and go absolutely crazy. And that is the breakdown that I've least witnessed of the Game 1 World Series. It is not the game that I thought was going to happen. I thought it was going to be more of a, you know, I thought it was going to be more of a scoring game. You look at the stats to this, 6-3, it looks like a lot of scoring. It felt very pitcher duel throughout the entire game, which it was. Whether that was because of the umpiring, whether that was because of great pitching between Flaherty and Cole, maybe a little bit of both, who knows, but this game became a World Series classic for sure. And if anybody was not a baseball fan that was watching this game, with anybody that was a baseball fan, I feel like you want to watch game two now. You want to see what happens. You have two juggernauts going against each other, two of the biggest markets in baseball going up against each other. And I feel like this game delivered on a lot of stuff. And you still have a lot of big players that didn't actually contribute in this game that will get their shot throughout the World Series. So you got a friend, you got a buddy who's not the greatest baseball fan, but you want to get them into baseball, or a family member or a kid or something, have them watch this World Series, because I feel like the next game is going to be big, and the next game and the next game. And they're so matched evenly that the little things will count, like the bad plays in right field or, you know, a bad defensive play here and there. Those could decide the series. Is just not playing smart baseball, not playing fundamental baseball. So it's just exciting. All right, so that's going to do it for game one. I'm going to just touch base a little bit on game two, and then I got to run and coach a Little League game. I'm trying to do this episode as fast as possible. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, even though I love talking baseball, I don't know how much I love talking about it by myself, but I love it regardless. All right, so game two, we got a lefty going, taking the mound for the Yankees with Rodon, and then we've got Yamamoto. So a couple key things to think about with the lefty coming up is how the Dodgers are going to set up their lineup. There's a lot of different routes they can go. One thing that I do believe was talked about, that Freeman was not going to start against left-handed pitching, which that would change a lot of things up defensively and offensively for the Dodgers. However, the man just hit a triple. He just hit a walk-off grand slam. I could pretty much guarantee you he's in the lineup for this game. So that means there's not a lot of shifting going on with Muncy taking first and Kike taking third. So one thing that was that I was actually kind of shocked was the fact that Rojas is on the World Series roster. Rojas, who's injured, we all know he's going to need surgery after the postseason. So did you bring him in for defensive purposes, or did you bring him in because he has a hot bat? I don't know where you put Rojas. So with a left-handed pitcher coming in, is this the time you put Rojas and you start him and he plays shortstop, and then you take Tommy Edmonds, you put Tommy Edmonds in center field, and then you take Kike and you move Kike to second base? I'll tell you two guys you're not going to take out, and that's, you're not taking out Edmonds, who won the MVP for the National League Championship Series, and you're not going to take out Kike because he's one of the best clutch hitters in the postseason right now. Those guys will be in the lineup. So another guy you have in the lineup, though, is Paez. The only reason why Paez is in the lineup is because he smashes left-handed pitching. So what do you do with Paez? Do you put Paez in left field? Do you keep Tommy Edmonds at that shortstop? And then you just put Kike in second base. I think that's the smart route to go. If you want to, I mean, I think that's what you're going to have to do defensively and what you do offensively. So I anticipate the Dodgers going with Edmonds at shortstop, Kike at second base, and then you put in Paez at center field. Now, Paez, to me, has not been the greatest center fielder. If you had to look at defensive comparisons between him and another outfielder, I would compare him with Soto just because of the way that they choose to track the baseball. They don't take the best routes when it comes to actually tracking the ball down. But those players play baseball because of the way they can hit the baseball, not because of how they field the baseball. So when you have Paez in the lineup against a left-handed pitcher, he is a very big threat. So I can see him in the lineup. So I think that's probably the route that they're going to go. As far as Yamamoto, we really need some innings from Yamamoto. We obviously jumped into our bullpen. Even though Flaherty gave us five innings, five and a third, you still use Triton a lot. So I don't think they're going to go to Triton today. Kopech only lasted two thirds. So I think they'll use Kopech again. I do believe maybe they'll go with Bonda again. What they do with Vesia and Gratterall, because they're coming back from injury, I don't know. They might use them. There's still other key pieces in the bullpen they didn't use. But we'll see. This is it. This is the World Series. You go for it. I understand you have to play smart ball. You have to decide. It's a chess game. We saw Roberts do the chess game with the Mets, deciding when to do the bullpen games, when to hold back, when to go for the throat, when to hold back, because you knew you had these bullpen games. And so that's a factor. We know the Dodgers are doing a bullpen game, at least one, possibly two. So that could change, or that could decide, you know, which route he goes. I think it's really going to boil down to which Yamamoto we get in this game. If we get Yamamoto, who pitched against the New York Yankees in the regular season, who just dominated them, that would be absolutely amazing. But time will tell. It's also going to tell what kind of umpire we get behind the plate. Because if we get another umpire, which if you look at the umps that we have stacked, we went over it a little bit. This isn't the greatest bunch. We could get another umpire who doesn't know where the strike zone is. So that could either benefit the pitchers or it could hurt the pitchers. It could benefit the hitters or hurt the hitters. We'll see. All I know is I am pumped for this World Series after game one. It's more than I wanted. It's going to go down in history as one of the greatest Dodger games of all time. Is it going to beat Gibson's home run? No. Is it going to beat the 88 that first series? No. You're talking about Dodgers were the underdog. They shouldn't have been in the World Series in 1988. You had a guy who wasn't even supposed to play in the game, shows up, hits his walk-off homer. You look at now, you have two juggernauts going head-to-head, toe-to-toe. Some of the greatest players playing the game currently right now. It's exciting. It's a good time to be a baseball fan. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening this long. If you did, you must be a fan. Please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All your contributions help us create content, help us create new content, keep the lights on, feed our dogs, feed our pets, feed our families. So your contributions help. Now, don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. I will catch you next time, hopefully, with my crew. It'll be, let's just go Dodgers, guys. I'm super stoked. I'm super pumped. I hope you guys are as well. I will catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.